episode 4. We made it.
Yeah. I never doubted that we'd make it. It's just 4 episodes.
I was going to say hi, Danny.
Hi. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Danny. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Sammy?
Very, very good. I think most listeners know this already, but we're recording 2 podcasts every time we meet up. So we're just going to dive right into the interview with an artist and manager combo, which I must admit I'm very excited about.
Yeah, me too.
Hailing from Houston, Texas, Jam Skerra is an artist manager with 13 years of music industry experience. The last 6 years of those have been spent working at Blood Company, where Jams has worked with an impressive range of artists, including Ghost Mane, Kenny Beats, and of course, Bea Miller. Meet Bea Miller, singer and actress who rose to fame at just the age of 13 years old. Recently, Bea released the single Lonely Bitch on her label Ghost Records, created in conjunction with ADA, a music distribution company owned by Warner. Jams, Bea, so good to have you both on the show.
It's happy great to be here.
Oh, that was cute.
It was pretty cute, wasn't
in
it?
In unison.
But what I'm going to say is, like, Jams, can you just say hello?
Hi.
And then Bea, you say hello. Or...
Hey.
So there you go. You know who's who now. That's important.
I think it's going to be easy to tell.
Yeah. So distinguishable.
I think we got it. I think we got it now.
Well, and also when you ask the specific questions...
Yeah.
To each.
Well, am I going to, let me see, am I directing these? Oh, I am actually, yeah.
Some good, of them, I'd imagine. Or,
yeah, yeah.
Or maybe I could answer as Jams and she could answer as me.
Whoa.
Just really confuse the people.
That would be
just
pretty,
make it a puzzle.
That would be pretty awesome.
No, we're not doing that.
Oh, okay,
please.
Fine.
I can't.
Okay. Well, maybe we just dive in and see what happens.
Yeah.
Cool. First question has to be straight at B. What's it like being managed by Jams?
Oh my God, I don't really even know where to start with that.
Yeah,
I feel like the easiest way I could kind of wrap that up into just one quick answer would be that I don't ever want to go anywhere without Jams. Like if I need to, if I'm like meeting new producers or writers, if I'm like going to be interviewed or do a podcast, or if I'm traveling somewhere or doing a show, I'm like, well, can you have Jams come? Like, can you book her a flight too, or I'm not coming?
Which was how we got Bea here today.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Obviously she's also incredible at her job. And I literally like don't know what I would do without her. She, you know, really just gets me where I need to go, and we always have fun when we do it.
Wow, that's so cool.
And it's also we also just love to like have fun regardless, like outside of doing, you know, we've got like a great working relationship and like a great personal relationship.
Great. Well, you can put the gun down now, Jams.
Yeah.
Oh. No, it's totally unprovoked.
Yeah.
It's genuine.
True.
I paid her.
Yeah.
This is a paid actress.
That is awesome and good to hear. Tell us, this is Jams. How did you come to manage Bea? And actually, you know, what's it like managing her?
Came to manage Bea, ultimately, her old record label was bringing managers in to meet her because she needed new management. And Tim Smith, who's the founder, top dog at Blood Company, was someone that they brought in. So first she met Tim, and he came to us and was like, you guys got to meet this girl. I think she's super dope. And I wasn't there this time, but I guess he brought in a couple other managers to meet Bea, and Bea was like, do you guys have any women around you? Because like, y'all are cool and all, but... Bleh.
Yeah. I literally said that I wouldn't. I was like, I like you guys, but if you don't have like one woman working here,
yeah,
then I don't want to do it.
And guess
and
what,
then,
guys?
Yeah.
They had one woman.
One woman,
there.
Which isn't good enough, obviously. But I also was thinking to myself, well, fair. If you guys only have one, she better be the shit. Otherwise, yeah. I'm not really sure what we're going to do. And then it was Jam. So here we are.
Did they hire you due to...
I'm the personality hire.
Oh, yeah.
Stop. inclusion hire. Not going to say that. No.
Well,
not
I wasn't sure from the story whether they actually ran out and hired someone who was a woman or whether the Jams was already working there.
No, I was already there.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
no, right, good, 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 good,
yeah.
good.
Because I was in like 2018, 2019, somewhere right there. I'd already been at Blood Company for 2 years working on, I mean, Kenny's project, which wasn't even Kenny Beats then. It was called Loud Pack. So I was working on Loud Pack and Mr. Carmack and Ghost Mane, which was like the early, early days. So
some experience as well. Like, yeah, some good, I feel like you'd want also, not just because you're a woman, obviously. Yeah. Nothing to do with that.
Well, yeah, I was like, I hope that you have a woman working here, but I also hope that she's sick.
He was like,
exactly.
No vaginas,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good rule.
I was like, how, what am I going to do? I'm just going to be managed by a bunch of dudes who'd like, what? Like, what the fuck?
Cannot
I don't
relate.
I don't want that. That sounds awful.
Dudes suck.
Yeah, I agree.
They do.
Full offense.
I know this is about you.
You're listening, Tim Smith. We're not talking
about you. No, we love you, too.
Please don't fire me.
Moving on. I just wanted to say that I know this is about you two right now, but those Ghost Main shows are absolutely insane.
They're incredible. Yeah. Honestly, they're super special. I do remember when I showed you the Ghost Main album when it first came out.
Yeah.
We were driving to the desert for a music video for B, and I was like, we managed this guy who dropped an album like today. Like, can we listen to it? And B was like, what the fuck? Can I swear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I encourage it.
It's already been
like,
B was like, what the fuck? And then, did you come to a Ghost Main show with us yet?
No, I've always wanted to, but I haven't. Like, it's always been like when I'm out of town is when he's here, like something happens and I can't make it.
We'll get to one. But yeah, they're incredible. Yeah. A kid lost a finger at a Ghost Main show once.
What happened? What?
Yeah, finger. Wrong.
Did someone just like, was that like get in too excited?
They got caught in
like the railing.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my god.
Ooh. Tendons, guys. They were tendons.
No.
Oh my god.
That's real commitment.
We need to put a warning on
anyway.
Oh, there's already, everyone's clicked. It says explicit content. Well,
yeah. It's explicit,
don't you worry.
Yeah. That counts.
I would say thank you. I don't really have much to do with that other than like the administrative side and approving people's payments. But yeah, the shows are incredible. They're really great. They're super fun. And like Ghost Main and his team, like are, and by his team, I mean like his band, they are doing it all themselves. Like Ghost does not have an MD. Like he is fully the captain of that ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Jams. What qualities do you look for in an up and coming artist when considering representation besides talent?
Dedication. I mean, the first thing I tend to ask anyone that is looking for a manager is I ask them, like, what do you do every day? And I don't, and like, really, I'm looking for them to say that they work on their craft in some form each day. Like, I don't say, like, what do you do for your job each day? Like, that's not how I pose the question. But yeah, definitely someone who's like really dedicated and like thinking about creating something every single day. Like that is the most important thing to me. And then I also ask them like, what are your goals?
Yeah.
And also like I talk with them too about understanding that this is a partnership and that it's a partnership that I don't want to have pressure on either side. So I'm like, you know, like this is art. And ultimately like, if you don't like the advice that I give you, which like you don't have to, this just isn't the right partnership. The biggest thing I look for is like dedication and also like just being like a good person.
Yeah.
Like definitely not looking to, I can really confidently say that not one person that I work with is like a diva or a brat, or is even like an unkind person to anyone that we encounter.
Got it. I'm seeing some similarities because we asked this question to another manager recently and I think they said work ethic and being a good person.
It's important.
Crack the code.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as common as you think it should be.
Maybe not. Yeah. And obviously bundles and bundles of talent too, but I did say besides talent, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
I mean, I don't want to say, obviously talent is important, but again, like when it comes to like 10,000 hours, you know, like we work with like an array of creatives that I think, you know, have their strengths and their weaknesses. And we have some creatives that are like just savants, right? Like they were just born thinking differently than anyone else. But then we have some others that really spend 12 hours a day on like honing and honing and honing and honing their craft. So like, I don't know. I don't think you can learn to be a singer. I really don't. But I do think you can learn to be a producer. I do think you can learn to be a guitar player and that stuff like that. And so like, you don't necessarily have to just be talented off rip to be able to accomplish those things. Like it just takes like, again, like just to be dedicated.
Yeah.
And like willing to fail.
Okay. Great. Thank you. This one's at both of you. So feel free to jump in at any time. What are some common mistakes that you see when new artists are trying to get recognized in the industry?
Do you want to go first, Bea, or do you want me to go first? You want to think?
I think you'd know more about that than I would, honestly.
A lack of patience. I think. And I think every, I don't know any artist that is patient. I get it. Totally get it. But I think the biggest mistake that artists make is, okay, they've made the music and they want it out now, right now. And I get it. Like, they're like, I've been sitting on this. I'm sick of it. I want to move on to the next thing. But, you know, it's like, okay, cool. Like, we'll put it out now, even though I told you this is a bad idea. And now no one heard it. Like, you're cutting through 60,000 songs a day.
Yeah.
Like, you need to come up with, like, a meaningful way to get this story out and connect with people. And that's the biggest mistake I think artists make in general, is just releasing things too eagerly.
Did you say that you would... I wasn't sure whether you were kind of saying, oh yeah, release it now, and against 60,000 other songs. Were you saying you have actually done that to kind of say to an artist, look, this didn't cut through?
I say that to them before it even happens.
I see, yeah. Like, but then you don't go and do it so that they...
Ultimately, we do what the artist wants.
Yeah,
you know what
okay.
I mean? Like, I am a vessel to try to help other people's dreams come to life.
Yeah.
And again, like, I'm not the boss.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, they are the CEO. I am a dedicated soldier. And at the end of the day, like, if what they want is it out now and there's no, like, compromise or reasoning, it's like, I'm going to do what you want. But I'm going to just say right now, like, I don't think this is the right idea. And like, if it's not the right idea, I'm going to be like, well, I told you so.
Told you so. Yeah, I thought that might be coming.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I guess I can say in response that I'm guilty of that. Jams will tell me directly, but yeah, I don't think this is a good idea. Like, if we release something this way, it might not hit as well if we do it this way, or if we wait until this time, or if we try to put multiple songs together into one thing that we release at once instead of just putting this out now because you really like it and you just want the world to hear it now. And I don't even think that that's like a new artist thing. I mean, I've been doing this for more than 10 years at this point, and I still am super guilty of that. And I guess really, like, I'm giving myself advice that I know that I'm not gonna take or haven't taken thus far. But it's just like, you have to obviously trust that the people that you have chosen to be there to support you and to advise you, like, you have to trust what they say. And it is really hard. Like I said, I'm obviously guilty of not taking the advice all the time, because you do, you know, as a creative person, you're like, this is how I see this happening, and this is my vision for this, and this is, I'm so desperate to just put it out there now. But of course, you know, if we all were to just do that all the time, it would be a fucking mess, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has Jams ever told you that you shouldn't do something, i.e. release a track or too early or something like that, and it's actually turned out the other way, and you've told... so out of interest.
Oh, interesting. And what you mean, so, like, it went well?
I actually don't think I don't well. I don't think
no.
so.
No, yeah. She's doing.
The answer is no.
That's, yeah.
Well, hold on.
No.
To put the gun back down.
No, for sure. Yeah, she's not threatening me. That's true. The answer is no. I've never been like, well, Jams, this is what I want to do, and I know I'm right, and I can feel it in my bones, and then it actually turns out to be the case. I mean, I have said things like that, like, Jams, this is what we're doing right now,
yeah,
and it's gonna be sick, and like, just listen to the song. The song will speak for itself. It usually doesn't. I mean, the song will speak for itself if it's good. You know, it will speak for itself as a song, but it won't actually speak to the people unless you build a bigger plan around it, which I get too excited sometimes to do. I think we all, you know, I think probably most, if not all, artists do at one point or another. And it's actually usually the opposite, where I'm like, Jams, I probably should have listened. Maybe I'll listen next time. And then, you know, again, I don't always do that.
Man, I'm not a bully. I think some managers are bullies. I'm like, yo, like, once again, like, I'm not the boss here. Like, I'll tell you what I think, and if you don't want to do it, like, we don't have to do it.
Yeah.
This is your career at the end of the day. Like, it's not mine.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Like, I mean, the manager, but the music's not mine.
Looking for sage advice, but not somebody to, like, pull the strings. Like, not to, like, completely take over. Like, you just want the guidance, like, as much guidance as you can give, and give or take. Like, you're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, there's plenty of, I think, artist-manager relationships that are extremely controlling, and I think that there can be a lot of times where that artist has a really successful career because they have no say in anything, and their managers make all the decisions, and the proof is in their pudding, and, like, that's all fine and dandy. I just think personally, as a woman as well, like, I don't think I could sleep at night in a relationship like that. I'd be like, wow, like, yeah, I was right, but, like, to what cost?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I agree.
So you two seem to have quite a good artist-manager relationship, I'm sensing, which is great. What would you consider to be the most important aspect of a successful artist-manager relationship? You know, like, what do you absolutely need to get right? I'm going to go straight to B on this one. I would like to hear from Jams too.
I mean, I have actually gone through quite a few managers and management teams throughout my career. And so I definitely know what a bad relationship with your management team looks like and with your managers. And I would say, at least for me, in like from my negative experiences, a lot of that had to do with lack of humanity. Kind of like James was just saying, there are so many managers who are very controlling and who don't really take into account the fact that, yes, you're an artist, but you're not a machine. You are like a person. And of course, there are those people who are savants and just can go forever. But that's not everyone. I would say that's probably more rare than anything. And I've had experiences with managers where, you know, I was a teenager even, and I would say, I'm so tired. I've literally been working 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day, it felt like, and it's been constant. It's been months and months of not even having, you know, a few hours to myself at the end of the day to make dinner and watch a movie with my dog and or see my friends and be a person. And sometimes the response that I would get to things like that was, you know, like, use this to like inspire your art, and sometimes when you feel like you're the closest to the breaking point, that's when you create something. Like shitty stuff where I just felt like, you know, really, it should be like, oh, well, how, you know, is your mental health okay? Are you gonna be all right? Like, you can only, I feel like at least I can only really feel like creative if I also feel like supported as a human being. And Jams, I mean, supports me. So if I'm having like a hard time and I'm like, oh, I just need to move this session, or I don't, you know, I don't feel great about this, or I don't like this writer, or I feel uncomfortable in the room with this producer, or I, you know, she's always very receptive to that. And doesn't really ask a lot of follow-up questions in a negative and accusatory way, which I think is really important. I think ultimately we wouldn't be able to have a good working relationship if I didn't feel like she really does care about me as a person. And I also just, I feel like she knows that I can't feel like safe to create if I don't feel like, you know, supported and respected as a person really first.
Damn.
Pretty high praise.
That was good.
Wow. I should get a raise, honestly. Communication.
Yeah.
I think is the biggest thing. And not necessarily just like open and honest communication. There's like quite a dance that needs to be done and understood. I think there's obviously moments for like brutal honesty, but there's a lot of moments for not. And I think understand, and everyone is different. I think just like even like it's a very intimate relationship, manager to artist. So really understanding your partner and the way that they best receive information, I think is the most important thing between a manager and an artist, is the communication. And it's going to be different across every single artist. So you better be intuitive.
Yeah. I'm actually interested to know how do you, I guess it takes a little while for you to understand the correct communication style with each of your artists. Is it just like a learning process from the off? Presumably that.
Yeah. I can't speak for all managers, but like I personally will take a 6 month like trial period to work with an artist, and like get to know them and spend time with them in like professional and personal settings. Again, like there needs to be boundaries when it comes to like the personal stuff, you know, like, yes, I will try to be quite knowledgeable about what's going on in their personal life, but not be like too involved, and then also like not have them too involved in my personal life. But you do have to, you know, spend time with them in those personal settings and like see the way that they react under pressure and sadness and disappointment in order to make sure that we are inspiring them on every single angle that we possibly can. Because at the end of the day, like, if they can't create and make music because whatever is going on, then like ultimately like we have no job to do. So trying to make sure that yeah, we are creating the best environment for them possible.
Nice.
Got it. Thank you.
And that is that's artist to artist, like whatever that environment
they're
means
all,
to them.
They're all so different. Yeah, they're all different. You know, everyone's got their own background, traumas, triggers, dislikes, likes. So like you got to learn them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes time. So I spend a lot of time hanging out.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what you've got going on right now? Where we might be able to see you perform or hear your music. Aside from on this podcast, we're going to be playing a track from B just to let everyone know. But yeah.
Like where to find my music in general, where it is.
Well, Spotify, I mean, imagine,
yeah, it's in all the places you can look for music. Right now, you know, I was working all of last year with one producer for the most part and really one co-writer. And I do think that I am definitely admittedly on like the more sensitive side creatively with who I feel comfortable creating with. I have very specific needs, I think, in order to feel like I'm in a safe space to like fully, you know, create to like the best of my abilities. But I am trying to get over that. I'm trying to, I also think that, you know, I was with a label for a long time. And like I said, I've had bad experiences with managers where I was kind of in situations where I was uncomfortable, but didn't feel like I was allowed to say that. And so I think I've kind of gone the opposite direction now where I just haven't really branched out in ways that might make me slightly uncomfortable, could actually benefit me. I've just kind of gone the opposite way and become almost like a hermit in my creative process, which Jams is helping me to get out of. You know, I kind of was like, we had a conversation at the beginning of this year, just kind of like what I want to do with my music moving forward and how we can best accomplish that. And, you know, she does push me, not in an aggressive way, but she obviously pushes me to be, you know, the best version of my like artist self. And sometimes obviously I push back, but we did have a conversation about, you know, what I can be doing to, you know, make music that's even more elevated and, you know, even more like what I am today this year. And so we, you know, I'm starting to branch out more and try to work with more writers, more producers. We're calling her Outside B. She's actually going out and meeting people and going to like industry parties to kind of show face and see what's going on and see who I do connect with, so that like on a personal level, so that we can create together. And just, you know, I'm just trying to branch out and allow myself to. I think I also have just put myself in a bit of a box, which I think has probably been difficult for everybody on my team, where I just was like, this is the only thing I want to make, and it can only sound like this, and I can only do it with these people.
2 months into me pushing B out of her box, I'm pretty sure that she just had COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Down. Too yeah. outside. Yeah. Really outside.
Yeah, really. And I was outside, and then the outside really, really got to me, really came fucked back. Me up.
Yep. Yep.
And so I was back inside. But, you know, right before that and now we're trying to just like, I'm just trying to try new things and see what sticks, because I wasn't open to trying new things for a long time. I was like, I'm finally in charge of my music and this is what I want to make only. And I wasn't really willing to hear anybody else's opinion on it, which, as we were saying earlier, is not great. You obviously have the people on your team because you want them to be there and you trust them to kind of guide you and let you know when something isn't working or could be working better. So
I think sometimes it's hard for me to answer that question because she gets a little like just confused about it. She's like, where have I been? I think we'll see a lot more like dance music come from you, probably like towards the end of this year, like a bit more next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that you wouldn't at RIP traditionally be like, oh, like I want to make dance records, but then you make them and you're like, wait, these are so fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love to collaborate with artists who make, you know, dance music, and I don't know why I don't just kind of dip into that on my own, you know. I should more. So.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And yeah. Thank you for taking us through that.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I just, once I get going.
No, it was great. I mean, it makes sense. I think that like really sheds light on like, you have to really work through like what happened to you at like with experiences that didn't go well and like maybe altered your vision or the way you want to work. And I think that's a process, like working through that and finding a balance. Mm. So yeah, that was really, thought it shed a lot of light on that situation. exactly.
Yeah.
Listen.
Got two more, actually one more question, I suppose. And then, as I mentioned,
talk about the tunes.
Jams or B to introduce the track we're going to hear.
Sweet.
I don't think B knows what song you're playing.
I have no idea. Did you choose the song?
Sent them a couple. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. Okay, Jams. Just yeah. Anything? Well, I'm sure you're up to a lot of blood company. Is there anything you want to tell us about that's going on of interest?
Something I'm really excited about this year with Blood Company is I'm really focused on bringing more people of color and queer people into the roster. Most recently, I've started working with a Ethiopian French guy named Kiru Kiru, which I think is exciting. He definitely has a lot going on in Europe, and there's a lot of excitement stuff going on here. He kind of stays in like the Afrobeats house lane, which... I don't know. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening in dance music right now. I think that, you know, Blood Company was kind of built on the backs of dance music. You know, like our two biggest pillars of clients were Skrillex and Zedd. And then, I don't know, dance music got kind of like not cool, I feel like, for a little while. But now it's really back. And maybe like in a post-COVID world, people just really want to be outside and together. And yeah, we're just seeing like the live business of it all like flourish. And DJs are like the front-facing artists now, like more than ever. So we're definitely kind of leaning back into that. So yeah, I would say, you know, definitely just trying to be more like women and the gays.
Love it.
Into Blood Co. That's where I'm at.
I love to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about that.
Yeah.
Love to hear that.
Great. Thank you. So are you going to introduce the track? I think we decided on Lonely Bitch. Who wants to introduce it?
I think B should introduce it.
I think I should. It sounds like you chose the song.
Come on, B.
Maybe like what inspired it or like what it's about, maybe.
Yeah, B, what inspired
that song? Yeah. Tell us the synopsis.
So I haven't literally like talked to your app about it like fucking million hours. Okay, what should I just, I should say like this is about this and here it is, basically?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah, essentially.
That would be perfect.
Okay. Lonely Bitch, is kind of my version of a love song, which I know based on just hearing the title, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but that is why it's
everyone.
Mm-hmm, that's why it's my version of a love song, because essentially, obviously that relationship is already over by now because that's just who I am. But at the time, I had developed very strong feelings for somebody for the first time in a very long time. And instead of being like, oh, this is so nice and I want to write about it in such a sweet way, I was kind of pissed off. I was like, what? Like, I'm not meant to be feeling these feelings. I don't like feeling these feelings. Just so icky and gross. And it's like preoccupying so much of like, I'm so preoccupied. It's occupying so much of like my mental space to think about this person. Ew, like that's so stupid. And I'm supposed to be alone. Like that's kind of how I've operated for so long. And so, yeah, I actually wrote this song with a producer and writer that I hadn't worked with previously, and we just got in this day, and I was just feeling inspired. And
was this the first day y'all ever?
This was
like
the same song with Kara and Colin.
Yeah, but this was the first one y'all made. So was this y'all's first session?
This was our very first session. Normally, it doesn't happen that way for me. You know, I get very anxious with new people and don't open up all the way. But I think I was just feeling so angry about this situation, which doesn't make any sense. Like I was happily in love and I was angry about it. And I was just feeling that so strongly that I was like, here we go. And it created a really great partnership with this writer and this producer for a very long time. And hopefully for much more time moving forward. This is probably one of my favorite songs I've ever made. Definitely one of my favorite songs I've ever made. I don't know why I said probably, but yeah, it's called Lonely Bitch. It's the anti-love song, love song.
I was fucked up on a lonely, then I found you under the bar lights. Didn't think much about the past time, since the last time that we crossed minds. Then we ditched it, and we listened to hyper pop in your car, now we're kissing. I was just trying to have a good time, then you crossed lines.
Say thank you so much for both coming in. This method of interviewing an artist and a manager at the same time, I feel you know, maybe we just get a good one because you two are so awesome and you've got such a great relationship, but I wonder if more of them might actually work. But yeah, it's a good test.
And we've set the bar really high, so
way too high. But yeah, I know how busy you both are. I really appreciate you coming in. It's awesome. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the time, for everything.
You're welcome.
Happy to be here.
I like
always
that.
Always want to hype up my girl Jams. Yeah, people know.